Right, thank you, Valerie. Thank you, Aaron, for getting us kicked off. And I have to say, I think the Pittsburgh poetry community doesn't have that very often. So everyone's bringing their A game. So thanks. Appreciate it. So I'd like to start off with some new poems. This one is called The Scribes. We told the scribes the sunflowers had died, that the pears were rotting in their baskets. They listened and wrote down our words in the same scrolls used to record the law and in the same handwriting, thin lines like the hair on a sassafras root. We told them about the sage coughing in the sun, the hydrangea nodding toward the storm clouds, the goldenrod slurring to the wind, and they wrote. They wrote and wrote and wrote, pausing only when tree rain fell on the backs of their necks or fire ants bit at their ankles. For months and years, they translated our garbled existence like a promise, and we trusted them to understand its sorrow and unyielding sweetness. They wrote in thin lines, like faint veins on the surface of the skin. They wore gossamer robes, like dew-drenched cobwebs. They were old. We thought they would die, but they didn't. Instead, they moved deep into the woods following the raccoon trails and lived on quail eggs and walnuts. They stopped writing, but we still had their scrolls, thin lines like unnoticeable bone fractures. They stopped writing, but we still heard their voices. They sang of dying plants and the stench of rotten fruit. We didn't understand, but we remembered telling the story. We remembered our own stories, pulsing in their own thin ways. And this next one is also pretty new, and I've read it once or twice, and I change it like every single time. So if you've heard it before and it's different, that's life, you know, it's a work in progress. So. This one is called, Yes, I Am a Woman Obsessed. It's like this, the same dream over 100 years. Gravel roads and stone fence, root-infested hillsides. I know the primal landscape dissolves into a cavern. Sometimes I find an opening and burrow through. Sometimes I wait for the collapse to devour me. This isn't the dream where I fall and fall and fall, then bungee myself awake. It's more like a trap door, half rotten with termites, that opens to a cellar of dusty tomato jars. Who owns the tomatoes, the cellar, the door? I return to the same landmarks like cattle to a salt lick. Yes, I am an animal obsessed with taste and the things I've forsaken. I carve petroglyphs in boulders that decay in slow, defiant silence. See how they root so solidly under my knife. See how the palimpsest of scars barely quivers. So my first book was pretty much my life. I mean, I took some fictional liberties here and there, but I've been kind of branching out into more lyricism and getting a little wilder. But I still kind of go back to my poetic roots. So my mother suffered from schizophrenia. Is there a lot of feedback? Oh, it's okay. All right. Yeah. So I do end up writing about that a lot. I've tried to avoid it, but you know, it is what it is. So this one is called Nesting. Sometimes in sleep I find her in a house that's forever walnut floors, French doors, spider plants in macrame hangers. Dad's not there, nor my brother, just her, me, and the homemade calico print blinds. Tonight she's rearranging the furniture. She pulls out the sofa and sweeps the dust. She does not see me in the kitchen by the jars of pickled green tomatoes. She is alone, whispering incantations as she drags the dining room table to a corner, heaves the Barbra Streisand records onto a shelf, stacks firewood neatly by the stove. Is it winter? I wonder if she's found the baby mice asleep in a cabinet drawer upstairs, warm and tangled in a skein of yarn. It's quiet there, among the crochet hooks and styrofoam spools of thread. I can feel the pulse of their suckling. I can hear their long dead heartbeats hidden in the dander and lint. Thank you. And I have one more mother poem, and then we'll move on to other things. This one is called The Woman in the Tide. Under a cliff potted with caves, a woman swam with sturgeon and jellyfish. She pushed her toes into the moss slime and climbed a slab of basalt where teenagers drank beer on Saturday nights. There she courted pelicans, lusting their mottled feathers in fish breath. At dusk, she whispered words of sand, trumpet, chrysanthemum, thesaurus. The wind carried them to shore, and they were stomped upon, kicked up, breathed in, tangled in the sinuses, spit out again. When she died, the shoreline eroded. It took a long time, so no one thought to blame the woman's death. The pelicans knew, but it wasn't their nature to mourn or criticize. When I tell the story, I say the woman is my mother. I say she fell asleep under the moonlight. The tide rose, and she drifted away. It's not true, of course, but here's the point. I am not a pelican. I don't know what happened to the woman, but the ocean waves continue to beat the shoreline down, burying some grains of sand and polishing others. Thank you. So I have two kind of travel-oriented poems. I spent about 3.5 years in Japan, and then have done other traveling around Southeast Asia and some other countries. So I think I overheard Don say that he was an Edward Abbey fan. Yeah. So this one, I love Desert Solitaire. So this one has an epigraph from that book. All right. So it's called, I should also explain, it's called Nine River Mother Water, and it's after the names that different languages on the Indochina Peninsula have for the Mekong. So it's called like Nine Dragon River in Vietnam, or Nine Dragon Head River, and Mother Water in Thai and Lao. So it combines those names, and it's about the Mekong. And the epigraph by Edward Abbey is, "Heart of the whole and essence of the scene is the river, the flowing river with its thin fringe of green." "And this is the Mekong," the tour guide explains. "These are the shallows where naked babies swim and women wash clothes. Here are anvils of sedimentary rock thrown into the mud like lightning bolts from God or Indra. And here's the dark, still stream where an angry Naga lurks in the water. The water here is thick with color, brown, ochre, red, like decaying wood. It flows from the Tibetan plateau, suckled from a glacier, tumbled down mountains. See how it cuts the bank, how it breathes sand and foam and bits of fish. Listen, a river lapwing chirps. Here, a Hmong woman plants corn on a steep slice of hill just above the river's lip. A Mekong catfish sucks algae from deep river rock. There's a dam under construction, the pounding of hammers, the village that will be flooded, the village that'll get electricity, the village whose distributary will soon disappear. But listen, says the tour guide, watch. A speedboat skirts an eddy while six Laotians in helmets and ponchos duck in the spray. We are on the slow boat, wood creek, heavy oil smell, and we glide down the river, tourists. We visit the cave with 1,000 Buddha statues. We kayak the rapids. We drink beer lao and ask for Coca-Cola without ice because we're afraid of germs in the water. While here, Vientiane teens play badminton on a sandbar. They are flirting. They take photos with their iPads. Here is an Irrawaddy dolphin, a woman digging for clams, a fishing village. Two shirtless boys under a house untangle nets, wishing they were teenagers with iPads. This is a Vietnamese elephant fish. Here is industrial muck that laps the banks near Ho Chi Minh City, that blackens the stilts of a reed-woven hut where a toddler sits on a plank, smiles, and waves. Here are more tourists saying, "How quaint," or "How awful." Here is a family selling potatoes from their boat, another selling mangosteens. A woman in a motorized sampan stuffed with bananas cuts through the palm and camphor branches that float on the water. Listen to the cough of the two-stroke engine trailing blue smoke. Child cry, bird song, the splash of the fishing net. This is the Mekong, mother water. Drink, she says, wash, choke, sink into the mud, the sledge, the life of me. Thank you. And I'd like to close with one poem called Mountain Split. It takes place in Þórsmörk, Iceland. In the center of the mountain, we follow each other's boots, step weak-ankled on loose stones, arrive one by one to the indifferent hospitality of the waterfall. The crash of water vibrates through us. Icicles dangle from moss walls and catch sunlight. We stand between green shadows, and it feels like a reckoning, a graffiti of my sins in the creek pebbles, my awkward ways splayed open in the canyon split. We stand in neon jackets with the arias of barbarians on our lips, the struggle to sing pursuing us like a reluctant orgasm. We stand in the center of the mountain where ice and lichen thrive, and we open our foolish human hearts to worship it. Thank you.